If you all don't mind, you can come this way. I know it's very tiring, but just move a little bit more. I promise you, I won't hold you too long. I guess that's okay. I'll change. It's easier for one person to shift than all of you. Right, now I can see pretty much everybody. Technology. Hare Krishna. So today, my presentation is about, as you can see, what does humility mean and how you can actually access that. What you can do about it and how to develop humility. So what does humility mean? In the standard English dictionary, this is the definition you'll find, more or less, the quality or condition of being humble. Modest opinion or estimate of one's own importance, rank, etc. Modest opinion. Right? So you have a certain understanding of what you mean to others. Or you have an opinion that you think you're better than others like that. But when it's modest, then it's considered humble. So that's the standard definition. Srila Prabhupada writes in our Bhagavad Gita, and this is a very nice way he puts it. Humility means that one should not be anxious to have the satisfaction of being honored by others. It makes far more meaningful, particularly for us as practicing Vaishnavas. We have a different understanding of what humility means. One time Srila Prabhupada was challenged by a group of people who were, because he was very strong about his position in preaching the Bhagavad Gita. So they were very disturbed, and so they argued with Prabhupada, and Prabhupada said, "That is my samadarshana. You know, I speak and I give Krishna as it is. That's my samadarshana." So he wasn't worried about how others were seeing him or respecting him. He was more wanting to teach what Krishna was trying to say from the Bhagavad Gita. So therefore, he wasn't anxious to have people honor him. He wasn't at all. This particular statement is in the purport, as I've written up there, in chapter 13 of the Bhagavad Gita. I forgot to put the Bhagavad Gita. No, it's there, up in there. So verses 8 to 12, Amanvitam, right? Amanvitam. In the purport, he says, you actually cannot understand Krishna if you do not cultivate humility. So therefore, it's very important for us to appreciate why actually we should give thanks to Romapada Maharaj for actually introducing this retreat, so that we can appreciate what developing humility is all about and why we should develop humility. In the long run, we are the benefactors, not the losers. Now, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says, humility is trinarapi sunichena tarorapi sahisnuna amanina manadena kritaniya sadahari. So this is pretty much our banner, you know, the Vaishnava, Gaudiya Vaishnava's banner. So pretty much this is what we have to stamp on our foreheads. Okay, this is what we are meant to behave like. One who thinks himself lower than the grass, who is more tolerant than a tree, and who does not expect personal honor, yet is always prepared to give all respects to others, can very easily always chant the holy name of the Lord. So you can see Prabhupada also says this same thing, who does not expect personal honor. And the converse is, he is always prepared to give all respect to others, irregardless of how the other person is behaving towards him. Okay, that's humility. He's not worried about how the other person behaves towards him. Rather, he is giving that individual honor. He will give the honor because he sees that individual as a servant of Krishna. Every single living entity is, in one sense, a servant of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And humility can arise in different situations. In the description of Muchukunda, his humility comes up because he experiences severe, miserable condition. So he becomes, he understands himself to be suffering, and therefore he takes the humble position. And then later on, we find in the Bhagavatam, the mother of Parikshit Maharaj, Uttara, she says, "I do not mind if I myself must be killed by the Brahmastra of Ashvatam." Prabhupada writes, this is in the Nectar of Devotion, he says, "This is an instance of humility caused by fear." So humility also arises through fear. And then another instance was in this morning, Maharaj was giving the class where we heard about Lord Brahma. He expressed his humility because he felt he had offended Krishna. So humility arises from offense also. But this is not like the offense of the ordinary persons. This we are talking about a advanced devotee who sometimes unknowingly commits an offense and he feels very humiliated by that. Srila Prabhupada mentions that what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is advocating here is that the qualifications mentioned in this particular verse must be reached by all of us. Particularly if we want to chant the holy name sincerely and purely with steadfastness. So, what does it mean? It means that no matter what happens in our life, no matter what happens, if we have or if we cultivate these particular qualities, we'll always be able to take shelter of the holy names of the Lord. Right? If we cultivate these qualities, we can automatically take shelter of the holy names. Yes. So therefore, it's important to cultivate this. No matter what happens, you will immediately think of the holy names. Or Krishna, oh, you please protect me. Prabhupada mentions, if, however, one does not have these qualities, during the ever-changing waves of life, he or she will chant either very inattentively or not chant at all. Sorry, Siri. Yeah, I'm sorry also, Siri. Can you please turn it off? It's broken. Can you leave it outside? Okay. It's turned off. All right, everyone, check your phones. That's a reminder. It's a 10-second break. Check your phone. Okay, so if you don't have these qualities in this particular verse that speaks about, in our life, there are so many things that changes. It's a flux. This material world is a flux. Things are changing constantly. And you're in that ocean of waves of changing things. So what does it mean? If you don't cultivate these qualities, you're not going to chant attentively. You will cultivate inattentive chanting. So we all know about inattentive chanting. We have mastered that. So now we have to master attentive chanting. So we have spent many years mastering inattentive chanting. So now we are mastering attentive. So therefore, this is very important for us. So these qualities are important. Look at it again. We have to be tolerant. One of the key things is tolerant. Always see yourself as less than the other person. Okay? But it's not psychologically you're not like a crazy person. No, I'm fallen like that. You know, we're not talking like that. In terms of your position within within Krishna's arrangement, where we are at, you know, we are his servants. We are actually at the lower rung. There are others in the spiritual world serving Krishna already. We are here serving ourselves. So yeah, so think of yourself as lower than a grass. Tolerant, be very tolerant. Don't take things too personally. As Maharaj also mentioned, that particular verse, tattenu kampum sumsumakshamanam, yeah. So we have to think, understand things that are coming to us due to our past reactions. Even if it was your best friend who suddenly turns shows you an ugly sight, still have to say, this is my karma, like that. So then, don't expect personal honor. Don't always expect, like when you come to your friend's place or home, you want them to say something nice about you, right? Oh, that's a nice dress, that's a nice shirt, like that. If they don't say, then you go home and you cry and say, my friend didn't notice my new, or similarly with your husbands or wives also, right? My husband didn't see that I have a new sari on or that. And like that. Then the husband say, my wife didn't acknowledge I bought her a new sari. Like that, you know. So, that's expecting honors. But, always respect others, irregardless of who they are. You cultivate that and you're the person who actually gains. You gain Krishna's love. Therefore, it's that much more important to be able to forgive people and become grateful for the association that you have. Therefore, if you want to chant in any circumstances, you have to cultivate these qualities. Of course, to develop these qualities, we have to become, we have to rise above the material conception of life. And what does it mean, material conception of life? That first thing that we learn when we come to the movement is that I am, I'm not the body. That conception must be given up. If I'm not the body, who am I? I'm a dead person. Who am I? I'm a spirit soul. Yeah, servant of Krishna. So that thing must be daily cultivated in your lives. Right? When you get out of bed, right, what do? You express your gratitude to Krishna that I am your servant. And then you pay obeisance to the Lord, to your spiritual master, to Srila Prabhupada. Then you can do your daily activities. That must be cultivated daily. You have to start daily. Right? So put that down. From tomorrow when you get up, this is what you're going to do. If you don't do, you can walk around like that. Okay? You're a loser. Think like that. So the beginning of knowledge means amanitva, which is humility. Now there are three types of humility. This was compiled by His Holiness Sachinanda Maharaj. So there's one which is inferiority complex. There are people who have humility but it's in an inferior complex. And then there's the remorse, I made a mistake, I'm so sorry, that kind of feelings of humility. And finally, the Krishna-related humility. Okay, there's these three types. The first type, inferiority complex, it's the weakest type. We don't want that. We are not interested in that. It's very weak. It's not desirable at all for our spiritual life. It's actually false humility. And it comes from your psychological disorder. So it's based on inferiority. Because you have to understand, we are spirit souls. You know, we are servant of Krishna. But if you think otherwise and pretend to be humble and so on, that's really our psychological problem. You know? So it's a disorder. So you grossly, at this level, you grossly identify with your false ego and material body. Okay? You think, I am this body, I am so and so. Even though you may be practicing Krishna consciousness, you still identify with your family, your caste. I come from India at this river Gandhari, and I am a Brahmana, and this and that nonsense. So that's gross identification of the body. Such people, when they are faced with the fact that they cannot really surrender, they go into these inferior projections. So they feel worthless. They feel uncomfortable when seeing others succeed. You know, instead of becoming happy for others, they become sad because their false ego is disturbed. Okay. And then because of that, they develop what we call self-pity. Woe is me. Woe, I shouldn't be doing this, you know. I'm better than that. And start finding faults with others also. So, when we cultivate this kind of qualities, we cannot actually seriously see beyond the body, and we cannot practice spiritual life. So you can show a semblance of humility, but it's not the real humility. And we don't want this. Okay? So whenever you see such things coming in your own self, try to cut it out. Yeah? Just like anarthas. The next one is remorse. This particular remorse is described in the second verse of the Shikshastakam. Yeah. Now, generally, the person here, he knows the value of Krishna consciousness and so on, but then he didn't take advantage, right? Just like this japa retreat. You know, how many people didn't take advantage like that? Of course, many of them have good reasons, but still, this is, and then they'll feel remorse. I should have gone, I like that, you know. It's a serious thing, but on this level, one should know and understand that the mercy of the Lord is very great. Okay? The Lord is giving us this wonderful chance. Srila Prabhupada is giving us such wonderful... but I'm not taking advantage. The remorse is there, but still we are not acting on it. The Lord has made it so easy to reach Him by chanting the holy name. Nam nam aghari bauda nija sarva shakti. You know, anytime, any place, it's full of potency, the holy name. Any place, any circumstances. No hard and fast rules. Still, he sees himself as full of offenses, and therefore he does not develop taste, nor does he want to participate. He understands, I'm not doing this. So that's the kind of remorse. He's feeling, oh, I didn't do this, I should be. And so that's kind of humility is not, again, good for us. We hide behind different kinds of excuses. So it's not good for us because we cannot go back to Krishna. And then we cannot have attraction for chanting the holy names. It's not possible. Okay? And then of course, as I said, he continuously feels, oh, I missed out. Oh, I missed out. You know, like that. This is, he feels that. So it's not so much on the false ego, but it's still there affecting him, that he cannot use the best use of his opportunities. So it is a limiting sense of self. What it means is, he sees through his own vision of this is good, that is bad, like that. Not through scriptural references, but through his own colored vision, colored glories, like that. Therefore, everything is coming from his point of view, and not completely understanding it from the scriptural sense, right? So what would we say for someone who's saying like, oh, I can't do this? We will tell them, get up your butt and attend the programs like that, or come to Mangala Arati like that. Of course, we'll say it in a nicer fashion, right? Madhavacharya, he says, listen carefully, when one identifies with the gross physical body, he will have unquenchable sexual desires, drowsiness, and his inner peace will always be burned to ashes. That means you cannot be peaceful. Real peace won't come. On the other hand, when one identifies with the mind and thoughts, the result is panic and fear, which ends in disappointment. Panic and the feeling of being unsettled in life happens when one identifies with the mental world. Someone who identifies with his intelligence suffers existential bitterness and frustration. And by identifying with false ego, one suffers from an inferiority complex. So Madhavacharya also tells us that we shouldn't have this kind of false humility or remorse. So what should we do, actually? Yeah? We have to think broadly and understand why we are wretched. What's the real reason? Not so much material reason, but what is the real spiritual reason that we are so wretched? So we have to wake up and properly deal with these problems, feelings of inferiority. Why? We are wretched because even though we have the mercy of the Supreme Lord, we are not willing to take the opportunity. And therefore we are wretched. We are not taking advantage of this opportunity. We always are ready to give excuses and then blaming every other situation except our own failure. So now that we know these are problems, so what we do is we use this as an opportunity the next time we don't make the same mistake. Right? The next time you have an opportunity to do something positive in your spiritual life, you should jump into it, dive into it, right? Yeah. So that's taking advantage of it, yeah. So once you genuinely feel sorry, genuine feeling sorry means you want to do something positive about it. That's genuine feeling. Not like, oh, I didn't do this, I missed the opportunity, then go back and do nonsense again. No, that's not genuine remorse. No, when you feel really, then you should do something about this. And it is said that when you feel genuinely sorry, you'll feel pain. And when you really feel the pain for making the mistake, that remorse will actually burn away your karma. Okay? Let me say that. If you genuinely feel remorse and you feel the pain for doing the wrong thing and want to correct yourself, What happens is that attitude will enable you to burn away your karma.
Is the remorse another name of repentance?
Yeah. Okay, see? Yeah. Remorse or repent. And then do something about it. So therefore, you should confront the reality. Why you are in that situation? Why are you a fallen soul? Right? Why are you a fallen soul? That is very important. You ask yourself, okay, I'm a fallen soul. You read theoretically the books and so on. But the question is, what are you doing about it? Right? What are you doing about it? Okay, I'm good. I'm fallen. Let's get on with life. Right? That's what we all do. No, we need to do something about it. So we have to confront this reality that we are fallen souls who missed out on a chance to progress in our spiritual life. And therefore we have to make firm decisions, make changes in our lives to get deeper into spiritual life. That is what Maharaj was explaining, sankalpa. Okay, making some vows that you want to cultivate. Okay, it's very important to understand that. Right, so make firm decisions, make vows like that. So finally, in the third level is Krishna-related humility. Of course, since this is Krishna-related humility, this is the most beneficial. Right? Has to be. Why? Because it's part of the soul. Okay? It's part of you. We are part and parcels of Krishna. That means you feel and think pretty much like Krishna. Therefore, Krishna is the supreme enjoyer. Because you're part of Krishna, you want to enjoy also. But you can't enjoy separate from Krishna. He is infinite and you are infinitesimal. Therefore, your enjoyment is dependent on the infinite or the infinite. Okay? So, when you connect with Krishna, then you will be truly happy. That is true happiness. This quality of humility to serve Krishna is already in us. But how to bring that about is very important for us to understand. This is how we can bring it out. Everything we do, nirbandha Krishna sambandhe. Whatever we do, our activities has to be related to Krishna. You raise a family, the family members are all servants of Krishna. You want to connect them to Krishna. So therefore you only refer that to Krishna and not to ourselves. The other thing is you have to understand at this level, when you have this Krishna-related humility, you will understand our position is minute, nothing, useless. And therefore we become prideless. When we don't have the connection with Krishna, we are thinking, I am the doer. And therefore you become very proud of our activities. So to develop further, what we do is whatever activities we are being offered or that we do, we consciously offer it to our spiritual master or to Krishna or to the Vaishnavas. Just like when we were discussing the songs of the Acharyas, Srila Prabhupada always offered to his spiritual master. He never said, I did it. I did it my way, huh? Like the song says. No, he never said like that. Always he said, by the mercy of my spiritual master, you know, my spiritual master. He sent all of you all to help me. He never claimed anything. So similarly, in our own practices, we should consciously offer whatever that we have as a offering to our spiritual master. Or if any praise comes in our way, we quickly send it along to our spiritual master. One Srila Prabhupada's disciple was saying that when he first approached Srila Prabhupada, the devotees were doing Guru Puja. So he was observing during the Guru Puja. At that time, Srila Prabhupada had his eyes closed, and then so he was wondering what Prabhupada was doing. So after the Guru Puja Aarti was over, he asked, "What were you doing? You know, you had your eyes closed." So then Prabhupada told him, "Whatever offering and prayers and worship was given to me, I was offering it to my spiritual master. I am just a via media. I am nobody." So when he heard that, he was actually practicing impersonalism. So when he heard that, he said, "This is a real, true master." And then he became a disciple of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada, the key. Yay. So everything that auspicious that you see in your life that comes to you is actually coming through the blessings of your spiritual master and Sri Krishna. It's not something that you develop on your own merits, no. Spiritually, everything is coming through Krishna. So praises, or whatever, should be redirected to the spiritual master. Now, how to achieve this kind of humility? Only way to achieve is to practice tolerance, real tolerance. It's not an easy way, but we have to practice tolerating many things in our life. So the real stage of humility, how do we come to this real stage of humility? First of all, we have to truly meditate on who we are. We have to understand that we are different from our body, our mind, and the false ego. We don't want to think we are part of the body, the mind or ego, because that's the first kind of humility, the inferiority complex. So we don't want to identify ourselves with the material body. And that's false humility also. But this is, we have to accept this. We are not this body, mind and ego. Whatever is connected to this body, mind and ego is also not part of our understanding. And the next is practicing tolerance in any situation life throws at you. Again, as I mentioned earlier, just like Maharaj is explaining, as Brahma was saying, tattenu kampam shushmakshamanam bunjanevadma kritam vipakam, that, you know, whatever comes in our way, difficulties that come, we should learn how to tolerate it. It is coming due to our own previous actions, right? Very simply, if you don't work hard or you don't study, you can't expect to get good results. You can't, in general circumstances. We're not talking about the exceptions to the rules here, right? In normal circumstances, if you don't put in the effort, you're not going to get any good results from it. So therefore, tolerance is very important. How do we do this? How do we come to the real stage of humility? According to Sachinanda Maharaj, we should all practice the emotional traffic light. So he gives very nice, I like it, so I'm going to say it. So what happens is, in most situations in our life, there are some patterns that trigger some certain emotions or reactions in all of us. That causes some kind of a conditioning that we create over a long period of time. So those are like reactive patterns. Certain thing happens, we react in a certain fashion. So it's like a habit, like a like a reflex action, you know. But when we react like that, what happens is we become miserable. The end result is we are not happy. So in order to break these patterns, the three steps of the emotional traffic light. First, you stop. You stop, when you stop at the traffic light that is red, right? So he says you remember who you are. Whenever something difficult comes in your way, so any kind of situation you are in, first stop and remember who you are. Who are you? I am? Spirit soul, yeah. So you have to remember your position first. I am a spirit soul. I am different from my body and mind. You have to understand that you are an eternal spirit soul. Connect with the fact that you are an eternal being. You are not this temporary body. And then he says, you observe. This is the amber light. So what are you going to observe? You have to look at your life from the observer perspective. Why is this happening? What is this situation about? Why is it coming like this? Why is my karma like that? So again, when we look at it like that, then you understand I'm a spirit soul who's stuck in this body. Due to my past activities, I'm now reaping certain things that are coming to me. And actually, I, the person, the soul, all these miseries actually truly cannot touch me. They can't touch me. Because I am an eternal soul. So we have to observe the situation from this kind of perspective. And when we see this is the reaction and how it's going to affect us, immediately that misery that we connect to disappears. For example, we see someone, he's my enemy. But actually when you reflect on it and see it, well, I guess I'm due for this person's chastisement for today. So I'll just tolerate and listen. So then this whole situation changes. But if you react to that situation, then you end up in fist fights or God knows what, you know. And then the third one is one has to act from a spiritual position. This is the green light. At this point, you will be able to control your reactive patterns. Once you analyze carefully, you will not break out in an outburst, react violently. You see the situation from a much broader perspective. Then when you see it like that, you'll try to see if there is different solutions to this that are going to be beneficial to your spiritual life. Okay? So when you practice these three carefully, you will find that you are able to practice tolerance. Because you are always thinking carefully before you are reacting. Now, of course, it's not something that's going to happen immediately. Slowly, step by step, you will become more and more tolerant. First, you'll find that you won't become judgmental immediately. You're very careful. But you analyze the situation always from the spiritual platform. And so, because you're seeing from a spiritual platform, you try to see a better solution. It's the difference. If you see from a material point of view, you will react to what you want. But from a spiritual point, you see what is beneficial spiritually for you and for the other person. So therefore, you're not judgmental immediately. Krishnadas Kaviraj, he assures us that when we accept this Trinadapi Sunichana platform, we can chant by the principles given by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu very nicely. And then he says you can attain the goal of life. Now, some things to consider before we finish. Key to humility is tolerance. And tolerance is something that develops more and more with practice. It tries to disturb you mentally, but by practice you can control even the mind, just like Arjuna was told by Krishna. Abhyasena tu kuntaye, he says, by practice, right? Vairagyena cha grihitya. So by practice, tolerating, you find that you are going to become better at, by practicing tolerance, you develop your humility nicely. So Krishnadas Kaviraj then says, "You raising my hands, I declare, everyone, please hear me. String this verse, the Trinadapi Sunichena, of the holy name, and wear it around your neck for continuous remembrance." I should be tolerant like that. And a good thing to remember also, we've discussed that, that one way to develop this attitude of humility is to understand what Srila Prabhupada said. Is he says, gratitude is a condition of the heart in which spiritual growth can take place. So what we should do on a daily basis is, as I mentioned earlier, when you get up in the morning or like that, you should be grateful for being, having this human form of life. And then having the opportunity to please Krishna and the opportunity to serve your spiritual master. Therefore, if you think like that, your whole day will be positively surcharged in the practice of your tolerance. I'm doing it for these personalities, not for myself like that. And therefore, you should become more and more gratitude, or you should feel more gratitude towards your spiritual master. So start your day praying to your spiritual master. Seek his blessings. Right? If he's close by, you can seek his blessings daily. Otherwise, you worship him. And offer your day to your spiritual master. The whole day is that you do whatever activities is for your spiritual master. So when you understand that you're offering that to your spiritual master, then you will be very careful that you will be practicing everything nicely. You don't want to offer some nonsense to your spiritual master like that. And if you think like that, not only the spiritual master you invite in your life, you can also invite Srila Prabhupada also. So when we are chanting, we invite them to help us, guide us. And then if you do it very nicely and carefully, you will see that miracles will happen in your own life. You will see how Krishna will intervene in your life. You'll see positive things in your spiritual life. This is a guarantee. Alright, it's 1:30 now. I'll stop here. We can talk so many things. So if you chant nicely, and if you have your spiritual master with you, Srila Prabhupada's blessings and so on, you should be able to meditate on Sri Radha and Krishna very nicely. And then all, you can go back to Goloka Vrindavan and hug Krishna like Gopa Kumara. Right? Wouldn't that be nice? Yeah. But all that starts from practicing humility. Okay? So thank you very much. Maharaj is here. Any comments?
Because I missed the earlier part. It seems that you're not exactly one-to-one correlating humility and tolerance, but there's, you're using the terms in a kind of interchangeable way. So did it in the early part, was there a distinction? Humility means this and tolerance means that? Did you make a distinction, or would you like to?
No, I didn't make a distinction between humility. Rather, I mentioned what humility is according to the definitions based on the verse, Trinarabhi Sunichana. Yeah. And part of that is also tolerance.
So how do the two compare? Similarity and dissimilarity, likeness and difference.
It's pretty much, different sides of the same coin. Anybody else? Yeah. Prabhuji, over there. Matsal Prabhu wants to add something, comment.
Hare Krishna. The materialists have an expression about tolerance, saying that the more you tolerate, then you get more of that thing back. You know, if you tolerate something, then you just get more of that. Because, you know, unless you make a stand, then you're just going to get more of whatever that thing you're getting is. And the tolerance is not, I mean, it's a welcome thing, I guess, even in the material world, but to a certain degree, I think. Do you have any comments about that?
I didn't understand. You tolerate what? You tolerate, like, for example, if it's a hot day on the sun, you go out there and just stand there and tolerate it,
I think it's more in terms of your interactions with other people.
Oh, okay.
If somebody's not pleasant to you and you tolerate it, then they're going to keep piling it on.
Right. Yeah, but then again, you know, one has to be practical, you know. You tolerate them to an extent that you don't take it as a punishment. Rather, you interact with them on a need to basis. Not so much as, okay, you know, the verses tolerate, and so I will sit and let them abuse me. It's not like that, you know. To a certain extent, you find that this person is going to be abusive. Maybe like in our cases, we'll say, hi, how are you, and that's about it. There's no intimacy involved. So that's not the kind of toleration that I think we are talking about, where you become abused by the other person. I believe what the tolerance that we are supposed to go through is that there may be different situations in life that may be, for most of the time when it's a happy situation, we welcome that. But when it's not so happy situation, we want to deny that. So actually we should be equipoised in both situations. So that's what tolerance is, from what I understood. Yeah.
Like matra sparsha astukante,
yeah.
Sukadugada,
dualities
in the material.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ru. Almost a similar question to Vatsal Prabhu. In terms of humility, I was thinking of how to apply it in the material aspect, where a lot of us may be working or in school, and it's a little bit of a cutthroat world, and your superiors may view your humility as a sign of weakness or a lack of confidence. So how do we practically apply humility?
Well, my understanding from what Srila Prabhupada exemplified was he stood firm in his preaching. He never backed down from principles and so on. So similarly, when you're working, it doesn't mean that you get again, you know, your bosses or your friend pushing you and so on. No, you stand for your rights as well. That's your duty, to do very well in your job situation. And then you show people that you can also do just as well. But that it doesn't mean that you practice letting them, you know, take advantage of you in your job situation. It's not like that. That's not what we mean by tolerance. Yeah. In those cases, yeah, you fight back, you know. So Prabhupada never allowed people to tell him, like, for example, I gave you the example of the situation where the group of scholars was telling him, you know, you're a sadhu. Sadhu should be very quiet. Where is your samadarshan? Then he said, my samadarshan is not to change Bhagavad Gita. So I'll call you guys a rascals. You're changing it. Like that. So, yeah, so, you know, he was tolerant. But at the same time, principles, you stand for your principles like that. Yeah.
Prabhu, I'm still a little bit confused on the tolerance. So, tolerance...
Yes, I'm confused also. No.
Injustice and laziness.
Huh?
Tolerance, we can't be tolerant to injustice or laziness. So, but I think part of the answer I got from your slides, you should not react, but you should still take care of it. Instead of, say, your children, if they're lazy, you can't tolerate. But instead of reacting and yelling at them, you need to develop a way to correct that. Is that correct?
Yeah, you know, you do your duty. You guide the people and so on. But, you know, you can also tolerate to some extent. But when it's not good and healthy for that individual, then you react. Right? So if it's spiritually, if that individual is not going to make an advantage of his situation, and if you're going to just tolerate, then you're actually doing injustice to that person. So therefore, if you tell your son, you know, come and do something and he's been lazy, you can tolerate once or twice. But then if he sees this is going to cultivate bad habits, then you can react to that. Because it's your duty as a parent to guide them to Krishna consciousness also. So that is your tolerance also. You tolerate up to a certain level. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji.
Hare Prabhu.
We are talking about, like Basar Prabhu asked this question, and the Anita Prabhu also asked, Chaitanya Prabhu also asked. Yeah, Chaitanya Prabhu asked the same question. On one side we are talking about Trinada Paisunejana. So, and you are also mentioning like we should stand up for certain things, a job and all those things. But if we apply like if similar sort of exploitation or like I should not use the word exploitation, like something which is matter of, if I have to distinguish between tolerance and Vaishnava Prad. So if something is like you experience, let's say within devotee community, how we should react and how we can address that situation. Like let's say you are dealing with the devotees. And in devotees, if certain things start to like go exceed certain tolerance and all that stuff. So, yes, we are learning like Sistrasam and all those things, and we are practicing those things. So, what is the like fine line, gray areas, where we can say, okay, this is the tolerance, now you should stand up. So how we can address this is,
I would say,
again, confusion for us.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. But what I'm going to say is, a lot of us practicing Krishna consciousness, what we know is, we take initiation and we chant japa and that's it. But we don't know Vaishnava etiquette. So 90% of the problem stems from misunderstanding Vaishnava etiquette. Who is at what position and how I should behave with them. If you remember, as I was saying, at certain situations, like if it's a material situation, and as Dayal Chaitanya and Vatsal was saying, if you should tolerate certain things which are excusable, you know, and when things go beyond a certain level, and you know this is not, then you stand up for it. Similarly, I'll just make it very briefly. Among Vaishnavas also, Prabhupada said, if the offense is very small, you should just forgive them and move on with your life. But
Prabhu,
if you...
Sorry, but that will be Vaishnava Aparad, Prabhu, like if you are...
No, Prabhupada said, you come in the morning at Mangala Arati, if it's a small offense, everyone do Vanchakalpa and that's it. Don't take it personally. Because among our relationship, we are going to step on one another. It's going to happen. But we have to learn that because we are all in a hospital, for example, he gives another example. Everyone is in a hospital. We are all coming here to get purified. We are all sick individuals. And so when two sick individuals meet each other, what do you think is going to happen? Right? So therefore, we try to realize, okay, he has a problem, I have a problem. And then you try to work it out. Now, another situation I would say is, you may have a good idea, and your idea is like, it's going to give 100% solution. And then your friend who is in charge of a project, he's going to tell you his way is good. But then, on analysis, it's going to give you 60% of the outcome. So then, if you're going to put your foot down and say, you have to follow my 100% because this is the best, but he's the lead and he says, no, I want you to follow my 60%. So if you look from Krishna's point of view, would he prefer the devotees to fight or would he prefer them to cooperate and get a result? So when we understand that, then you'll see that we take a humble position at such situation. Okay, I will tolerate at this level, because the greater good is more important than my needs or what I feel. Because we often misidentify our actions with being spiritual actions. Rather, we are actually working from our ego platform. So, to come to that understanding that I'm working from ego also requires a lot of spiritual practices. To help us in that practices, we should follow Vaishnava etiquette. Now, Vaishnava etiquette means how I respect each other, how I should talk to one another, and if I feel uncomfortable with this situation, where should I bring this problem up? And even if you bring it up to Srila Prabhupada and Prabhupada says, I can't solve it, what should I do? Should I take it and accept it as my karma, or should I fight until I drown and still put my finger out of the water? There's a story like that, you know. A man and another man were playing the game. What? Stick and stone, right? Paper, stick, knife, scissors. So one man was saying stone, and the other guy was saying scissors, and then the boat sank, and still when the guy was drowning, out of the water his hand stuck out, and it showed a scissors layer. So the point is, where do you stop? Huh? So Vaishnava etiquette helps us to hold us in context of the situation. And sometimes you cannot understand why it's happening in a very unfavorable way for us. What should we do then? Then we should take a step back and say, I'm not ready to understand this situation at the present moment, but I'm sure Krishna will give me the intelligence. If you still feel uncomfortable, then you find senior devotees or Vaishnavas who can talk to you to make you feel at least a little bit contented with the outcome, like that. I mean, that's what I can tell you. I hope that helps. All right. If there's no more questions, thank you very much. We will proceed. to lunch, prasad and Gauranga hall.